A reading from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many ways and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about what we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Or mortals, that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, whom for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God He might taste death for everyone. It is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. The two really distinct pieces of our gospel reading today are quite a challenge for preaching. On the one hand, we have Jesus being tested by Pharisees and some unsettling conversations about marriage and divorce. On the other hand, We have children being welcomed by Jesus and an important conversation about inclusivity. Each could easily be the subject of its own sermon, but we've heard them both today, so we have to address them both today as best we can. So here it goes. Let's start with chronology and location of these incidents from the 10th chapter of Mark. Since chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, some of the Jewish leaders, known as Pharisees, have been seeking to destroy Jesus because he threatened their authority. To that end, they conspired with the Herodians, Jewish political leaders who were loyal to the puppet king Herod. In chapter 6, the prophet John the Baptist was executed for publicly accusing Herod of adultery. John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herod had divorced his first wife in order to marry his brother's wife, Herodias, who had divorced her husband in order to marry Herod. John called them out on their sin, so they killed him. In chapters 8 and 9, Jesus tried twice to tell his disciples that he was going to suffer and be killed and then in 3 days rise from the dead. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about either time. They continued to have their minds set on human things rather than divine things. A reading for today occurs at the beginning of the 10th chapter of Mark. After this, Jesus will tell his disciples for the third time that he is going to suffer and be killed, and after 3 days rise from the dead. He will tell them that it is going to happen in Jerusalem. Then, in chapter 11, Jesus and his disciples will enter Jerusalem, and the things that he has predicted will occur. All of that is important information for hearing what Jesus says in today's reading from chapter 10. It is also important for hearing what Jesus does not say. When Jesus was back in Judea, close to Jerusalem, the Pharisees, who were in cahoots with the Herodians, came to Jesus to test him. They didn't come to him to learn something from him. They didn't come to him to study the law of Moses with him. They came to test him. The test was a question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? The test wasn't that their question was a hard question. In fact, they already knew the answer. They knew the law. And they knew that Jesus knew the law. In reality, the test wasn't about any generic man divorcing his wife. The test was about a particular man divorcing his wife. And that particular man was Herod. It was a dangerous question, and Jesus would answer it at his own peril. The last person who gave a public opinion about that question, about Herod's divorce, literally lost his head. What Jesus said in response to the test was that Moses allowed divorce because people are hard-hearted. But that divorce wasn't God's plan for relationships. God created people to be in healthy, committed relationships with each other and with the earth and with God. God's intention when people marry or enter into other committed relationships has always been that people would be faithful to their promises and prize their relationships and live them out in healthy ways. To divorce or break relationships with others or with the earth or with God is sin. It's living counter to God's intention. That's pretty indisputable. Nobody gets married intending to divorce. Everyone believes their marriage, when they enter it, will be until death parts us. What Jesus didn't say was that divorce is the worst sin, or that it is an unforgivable sin. What Jesus didn't say is that people should stay in broken or unhealthy or abusive relationships so as not to sin. Broken and unhealthy and abusive relationships are sin. Religious people have often done great harm to vulnerable people by insisting that somehow divorce is the worst choice in a sinful world. The church's pastoral role is to help people experience forgiveness of sin and healing and acceptance and meaningful, healthy relationships. Now, we awkwardly shift gears to the children. The disciples spoke sternly to the parents who brought their children to Jesus. But Jesus' vision of God's kingdom was a community that included children. The noisy, fidgety, distracting, messy children. Even while Jesus was talking. Can you imagine anyone speaking sternly to a parent because their child was noisy or fidgety or distracting or messy? Now for a commercial break. Some of you remember a former associate pastor of Good Shepherd Congregation from about 12 years ago, Pastor Justin Lind Ayers. Pastor Justin Lind Ayers has just published a book about parenting while Christian, and it is titled, Is That Poop on My Arm? I commend it to you highly. First, because he expresses appreciation in the book to this congregation. More importantly, because of what he says about welcoming young people and parents of young children in worship. Pastor Lind Ayers is probably my favorite preacher ever. Since leaving us, Pastor Lindair's call as campus pastor has allowed him to worship with his family on Sunday mornings, which now includes 3 small children. In his book, Pastor Justin states, "It is easier to preach a sermon than it is to sit with small children during worship." Preaching to the pews is significantly easier than parenting from the pews. It's a good read. Pick it up. When Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these the kingdom of God belongs," he meant for us to be intentional about welcoming and including little children. Noisy, fidgety, distracting, and messy little children. He also meant for us to be intentional about welcoming everyone who is vulnerable and might be excluded, like the abused, the divorced, the hopeless, the needy, the sinners. You know, people like us who are noisy and fidgety and distracting and messy. Amen.